Waking up in the morning with Boomer. Picture that. Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Yeah! Come on, Jay. The artist of the day, Lil Warrant. Oh, it makes me happy, buddy.
You're so proud of yourself. Look at you. Just like a pagan.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm back in my 1980 Olds Cutlass. Got the Alpine 6x9 just pumping. My tired little amp in the trunk working its hardest.
Heating up.
Ooh, baby. You have an idea? Do you have 6x9s? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Speakers?
Yeah.
Little CanCon, am I right?
No, you're not right.
All right. Thought I'd throw that out there. Warrant, huh?
Warrant.
Now, I used to be the afternoon show host.
Ooh, ooh, baby,
for an
yeah.
80s, 90s, whatever format. So yeah. I'm familiar with like one or two Warrant songs. This is not one or two.
Coming up this hour, Elliot Friedman and Arash Madani, our CFL insider.
Maybe Arash can explain exactly what happened yesterday in the CFL.
I don't think so. Well, you know what, Hills? You take away your best players at every position.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You take away your best pass rusher, your best receiver, your best running back, and your number one quarterback. Maybe Ouch. It's a little ignorant to sit here and say, geez, what happened?
Especially after last week where, you know, they did have that huge comeback against Toronto, but they got themselves in a huge hole against a Toronto team that is somewhat comparable to the Alouettes. Sure. Both teams are now tied for first in the East.
What was wrong with you guys? Yeah, I don't know. The fact that we've been obliterated by injuries, that we went on the road, and that Montreal actually played pretty well. I was impressed with Jonathan Crompton.
Why didn't they go to this guy earlier?
Played well. The Stamps, not so much. Drew Tate, even if you're a Bo Levi backer, you had to think, okay, Drew, go in and play well.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really the case. He ran a couple of touchdowns in, but as far as the passing game was concerned, nothing to really brag about. We'll talk about that coming up in the next segment with Arash Madani. Right now, we'll talk about the Flames. They played a pair of games yesterday, one in Edmonton, one here, both against the Oilers. Losing in Edmonton, winning here, a shared shutout on dome ice for Jonas Hiller and Brad Thiessen. The line of Monahan, Hudler, and Mason Raymond was, I guess, your top line. Colburn, Setoguchi, and Goodrow. Setoguchi hurt in this game.
Apparently.
Kind of an away-from-the-puck collision. I don't know that it was deliberate. Some feel that Yakupov went at him, but just kind of caught a piece, looked like a little bit of a knee on knee, but he kind of spun around, went up in the air, and I think it was more when he landed. When he came down, he landed right on his right in his seat, but the way he was lying, his legs just kind of buckled and did the splits on him. So I would guess that probably there's a tender groin or something in there, or what have you. But he left the game and didn't come back. No further word for people that have been asking this morning as far as that is concerned.
And again, this is an important camp for Devin Setoguchi. If he doesn't show well, I don't know how much hesitance there'll be in saying, go to Adirondack. Especially if you've got some kids playing very well.
Yeah.
There is an appetite from this management team to see youngsters beat vets for jobs. You know, if that happens, they're not going to, hey, yeah. Devin Setoguchi's been here for 2 minutes.
Yeah. I'm a little higher on the Setoguchi stock than you are.
I
don't see him starting in Adirondack. I think he makes the team.
I'm not suggesting he will. I'm just saying this isn't what he needs. You have to view him almost like a tryout. He's league minimum, essentially.
Yeah.
So he needs to have a good start to the season. This doesn't help.
So he will obviously monitor his situation as far as the injury is concerned. No Sam Bennett this weekend. Not saying that's cause for alarm, but that's
cause for alarm.
If you were hoping to see him make this team, I think it was a long shot to begin with, and I don't think that makes it any easier. Other lines, and for what it's worth, I mean, John Goodrow, shockingly, no, looked impressive, had the puck a ton, just slick on the, used him a lot on the power play, moved the puck around. To me, just looks great coming off that, off the, where he can spin off the defender on the side wall, kind of put the hash marks there and move the puck around. He's just a good player. I don't know what is going to have to happen. Maybe there's fatigue. Maybe something happens over the last half of training camp in the preseason. But I don't know how he doesn't earn a spot on this team to start the season.
You and I have been on that wagon for a while here. And I've been a Gaudreau fan way back since the draft when they took him in, what, 2011, round three or four. But this is, it's undeniable. He's got something that is immensely rare. He seems to know where everyone on the ice is at all times. This is, you don't succeed at hockey at his size and stature without some gifts, and he certainly got them.
Garnet Hathaway laid out Boyd Gordon last night, like laid him out, and the Oilers were not happy. It was kind of just outside the offensive zone for the Flames, just T-boned this guy. And then the Flames went in, and it looked like Corbin Knight had actually scored. He came in on his backhand, then pulled it quickly to his forehand and got it upstairs. It ended up going off the crossbar and missing, but it looked as though he had scored. But Garnet Hathaway, again, what do? Get noticed. Get out there, get noticed. And I don't know what the end game is for him, but he certainly did that last night.
Has there been a more impressive guy out of the no-name invitees, so to speak, that you hadn't heard of, maybe the tryout basis? Has there been a better guy?
No.
And it's early, but yeah. He's been great.
Yeah, he has been.
And I wonder, I mean, I don't know what his status is, whether he's on an AHL contract or not, but he did join Abbotsford for 8 regular season games at the end of last year, got himself, I think, into 1 playoff game. So they're familiar with him a bit. But here he is having a camp, and he's a load. This guy's 6'2", 215.
Yeah.
This is not a little guy.
Give us a little bit of backstory on Garnet, because a lot of people won't know where he's from. What's the story with him?
He's actually born in Florida, of all places, which is unusual, but played high school hockey in Andover, which I believe is Michigan, and 4 years at Brown University. So obviously he got a head on his shoulders, 2 years as an alternate captain at Brown. Not a huge point producer, but penalty and a half of minutes per game, probably a half point per game over his college career. Didn't do anything terribly notice points-wise with Abbotsford last year, but bunch of pims.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a guy that mixes him up. He's 22.
22 years old.
22, 6'2", 215.
Yeah.
And he seems to understand, there's no confusion about what his role is going to be. He knows how he's going to have to earn a job and make a paycheck playing hockey. And that's what you love about the Ivy League guys. They get it, right? This is George Parros.
Well, slow down with Ivy League. I'll just say this. I like guys that just figure it out.
Yeah.
They come and say, here's my role. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be a scorer. I'm going to go and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it the best I can. I don't know if it's all Ivy League.
No, but I just think it's funny because
he's smart, eh?
It's a league where you're not allowed to fight. And yet we see so many guys immediately when they leave that league, they know and they understand the only way to get a paycheck in hockey is to be a complete pain in the rear end and to drop the mitts. Parros, I believe, Ivy Leaguer, right?
Yeah.
Westgarth, we've seen as well.
Yes, yes.
And this guy as well.
Yes.
So
there's three guys. All these Ivy Leaguers, guys.
But how many Ivy Leaguers are in the NHL?
Just settle down.
Not a ton.
Just settle down. I know you're excited. Guy from Brown.
You asked for the background. We got the background.
I know we're talking about a guy from Brown University.
Brown.
So he was noticeable, as we say. Derek Englund on the blue line didn't get booed off the ice. I thought maybe the Flames fans, with their outrage over the signing of Derek Englund, would have just let him have it. But instead, they watched, and he was wearing an assistant captain's letter last night. In his first game as a Calgary Flame, had the A on his chest. And you're disgusted.
I'm not disgusted at all.
Because he didn't go to Brown. Where did he go to school, Pinder? What's the back? For those playing along at home, what's the background on Derek Englund? Did he, is he from Mount Hubitz?
That is
Mount Hubitz University?
That is not a school. He's a Moose Jaw Warrior.
Oh.
Western Hockey League.
Oh, you hate him.
No, it's no can't problem. Stand him. The I'll one tell thing him. That is curious, they've gone out and signed a couple guys and projected them into the lineup higher than we've seen them in the NHL. And talking with coaches and guys that scout, they sort of say, you know, it's nice to slot guys based on being hopeful and expectations of being better, but the teams that win are the teams that slot players where they've had success before.
Okay, just I get your point. That's common sense, all I'm
saying.
Right?
That's common sense. And he's one of those guys that they seem to be slotting
yeah,
higher
we
than we've
it.
Seen.
So that's who would all. Be the other one? Setoguchi, you're saying?
Not Setoguchi. Let me think here. Bolick, because they seem to think he can be top nine. And he's been a fourth liner his whole career.
So Englund in a 5-6 role is
6-7 is what he's been his whole
is hired.
Yeah.
And Bolick playing
been
on
a fourth
wing.
Liner. Yeah.
The thing about those teams, Pittsburgh and Chicago, they're real good.
They are.
So I would say if they were 27th in the league, maybe Englund would be a 5-6 and Bolick might play on the third line left wing. Right?
That's the thought. Now, whether that pays...
I'm just trying to debunk your myth. I'm thinking that if the Flames had far more options and if they were a top Western or Eastern Conference team, maybe Derek Englund wouldn't be a 5-6. He'd be a 6-7.
Well, that's what they're hoping.
No, because they're not as good as Pittsburgh or Chicago.
I understand that.
They have guys ranking higher in their lineup.
Sure, but that doesn't necessarily... We'll see. If in the spring, Bolick's playing top nine and Derek Englund's playing top four, they were right. And if they aren't,
now top
that's
four.
A lot of dough they've
now you
added.
Said top four. Don't.
They talked about top four.
He's not
no,
top
we think
four.
There's a lot more there.
Slow down. Don't put words in their mouth. There's a fairly clear top four here, right?
Well, I think there's definitely, well, I mean, is Russell cemented in?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say Schmid and...
Well, I think Schmid's a third pairing guy, but I think you got Weidman,
Russell.
That's what
Russell. I'm saying. Schmid and Englund are your third pairing guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I would not be shocked if Tyler Watherspoon's a more competent defender in the spring than Derek Englund. That's all I'm saying.
And all I'm saying is the reason he's slotted in where he is and not where Pittsburgh had him is that maybe Pittsburgh, somewhat of a better club.
Clearly.
And that Bolick...
Not going to debate you
And where
that.
Bolick's minutes on Chicago may have been less than in Calgary, I think Chicago, at this point, stronger than the Flames.
No question.
Moving on. We'll move on. We've
Fair.
Established
We
that.
Both made our points. That's fine.
Sean Monahan, great last night. And TJ Brody, yeah, right? He's... If there's one guy now that you sit, who's going to have the big year? And I don't know how you'll... Will it be points? I don't know what it'll be. But I said it earlier. I just feel like this is going to be a big year for TJ Brody. And maybe that it starts to come together. The shot. Did you see the shot last night? Great feet across through the seam, and he teed this thing up and absolutely buried it. It was a great pass from Sam Reinhart, and just buried it.
Max.
Yeah. Did I say Sam?
You did.
Max.
It's okay. We know what you're talking about.
Great.
That'd be a serious pass from Buffalo to Calgary.
It really would have been. Saucer, even with Sam, probably could. But he just roofed this thing, and Bob Hartley says, if we could just get TJ to shoot a little more, we've been saying it for a while, it's going to be a big year for him. He can stay healthy and all things go the way that you expect they are. I think this is, if not a breakout, then this is going to be a real attention-getting season league-wide for TJ.
Every year it gets better.
Yeah.
Every single year it gets better. You look at a fourth-round pick, late bloomer in junior. He's made like a lot of progress each season. And you could go back and revisit the bridge versus long-term. I know I got into that with Pat at the time. He sort of said, don't go long-term no matter what. And I was saying, look, if you can get a deal long-term, you're going to save yourself some dough. And we'll leave that alone because we'll see how he's going to do, and we don't know what he's going to cost next summer. But point being, there's room for improvement still, and he was their top-pairing defenseman last year with Gio. And the last year, how many times did we see him jump up into the rush, get to the slot, blow one wide of the net, or miss on a chance in close?
Yeah.
So that's the one spot if you could say, geez, if TJ just bared down in this one area, that would be it. Finishing. Because he had a ton of chances, and he didn't finish with a ton of goals.
In Edmonton, now, like I said, watching two games on the internet at the same time, not conducive to a lot of real deep analysis, but just on what I had, Glenn Cross, real good, could have had three or four. Orteo was shaky at the start, and I know the plan was for Mason McDonald to come in. Orteo went the whole way. The goal by Nugent Hopkins was a tough one, gets him on the blocker side, but it's about a foot off the ice, off the post and in. It's going to be a hard shot for anybody, but he got better as the night went on. both reporters for the Sun and the Herald, for what this is worth, because again, I was not there, but both Sportac and Cruickshank really liked Rafael Diaz and what he did last night. The line of Granlund, Byron, and Berchi. Berchi had, if not a breakaway, then a partial breakaway, and Justin Schultz caught him and took the puck away from him. You were just like, okay, come on, do something.
Here's your chance.
I think the line was okay. I like Byron, and I saw a lot of Granlund, but I didn't. I don't know. I just got to. It was one game on the internet. I'm not going to come out and say anything too disparaging about Sven, but
didn't take over the game.
Did not seem to stand out.
Those are the kind of guys you can work with. Granlund and Byron. That's what you like to see. You don't want to see him with, you know, McGrattan and Bowling, because then it's, well, what does he have to work with? Those are the kinds of guys he should have success with.
More on this coming up. Game Wednesday in Sylvan. We'll have an idea of what that lineup will look like maybe as early as today. Elliot Friedman before 8 o'clock, but when we come back, CFL Insider will break down the week that was in the CFL, including a tough loss for the Calgary Stampeders out in Montreal against the lowly Alouettes. Sports at 960, The Fan.
Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Monday morning, 7:27, time for some CFL chatter with our insider, Arash Madani, a presentation of South Street Burger. Try one of the flame-grilled signature burgers, the Nacho, the True North, the Hawaiian, or the Mushroom Swiss. Three locations in Calgary, Cross Iron Mills, Beacon Hill, and 130th Avenue in the southeast. It's the South Street Burger Company. Four games, East versus West, and only one Western team comes up with a win. Just when you think you got things figured out in the CFL, that happens, Arash.
Yeah, well, it was a weak boom. That's all it was. And I look at that Stampeder team. I mean, could they have been any more depleted?
Yeah,
from a roster standpoint than they were yesterday.
You know what?
Blip on the radar, no more.
You know what it is, though. You get so accustomed to just watching them move the deck chairs around. Well, this guy's out, this guy's in, and they don't seem to really miss a beat. Yesterday was the first game where you really saw the impact. And I guess it's the quality of guys that were missing and the number, but they just, to this point, seem to be able to roll with the punches.
Yeah, sometimes you can weather the storm, but when lightning actually leaves a big hole in the deck, there's nowhere to put the chairs anymore. And that's what the Stamps had to deal with. I mean, they've just gotten to the point where there are just so many guys who are missing. And look, I listened to what Drew Tate said after the game. He took a bullet for a lot of things. That wasn't on the quarterback. That wasn't just because the Levi Mitchell didn't play, or just because John Cornish wasn't in the lineup, or that their entire defensive line was MIA. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where for the Stampeders, it's about getting healthy, and that's what they have to figure out here.
How much of that, and I mean, I'll ask you, I don't know if you have the answer, the John Cornish situation was kind of, press release came out, he was not going to play. Do you have anything on that?
I don't, Boom, and I really don't think it's serious at this point from what I've been made to understand. The key thing there is that it's not concussion-related from what everybody is saying and what everybody believes, and that's the main thing. And, you know, if you look at it today, we're September 22nd. The Grey Cup is going to be awarded 2 months and a week from now.
Yeah.
There are miles to go before we sleep, and sometimes, you know, you hear of NHL players taking maintenance days. If Cornish just takes some time and gets his body right, that's the main thing here. The Stamps have two losses on the season. It appears as if they're going to have home field now for the first round of the playoffs, although the last couple of years we've discovered that may not necessarily be an advantage. Less can sometimes be more, especially at the tailback spot. And if it's going to be one of those minor deals where he'll need a week or two, so be it.
The Stamps move on and take on the BC Lions. They fell to the Toronto Argonauts. The loss of, obviously, Travis Lule there was a blow, even though he was only back for a short amount of time. Kevin Glenn, you talk about the magic running out. Is he going to be able to to rekindle that and get BC through through the tail end of this season, or are we watching them start to fade?
Well, let's give some credit here first. Toronto gets paid too, and the Argos finally were at full bullets. You know, Ricky Ray had Chad Owens, he had Jason Barnes. You got an Argos team that over the last couple of weeks since Labor Day has showed steady kind of growth along the way, gave the Stampeders everything they had before kind of falling apart themselves. But that's what the Argos are capable of doing offensively. That was as complete a kind of performance and as complete a roster as they've had all season. Kevin Glenn's going to be fine. Kevin Glenn's still going to get paid boom this offseason. I mean, just the lack of capable, experienced quarterbacks with a decent resume is going to lead to that, and with Travis Foley's health. But the Lions have been beyond erratic all season. They have shown, and one thing I thought was interesting was Sean Gore from Bishop's University said, you know, he talked about the leadership that's lacking. Paris Jackson is no longer around. Giro Simon is long retired. They don't have the vets to get them through what is really a difficult time in the season. There's no light at the end of the tunnel right now for a lot of these guys who are beaten down. They've dealt with short weeks. Their bodies are just absolutely aching. And BC's got to figure it out, and they have to do so not only with a backup quarterback, but with an offensive line that continues to kind of be held together with some kind of liquid paper instead of super glue. And there are a lot of things personnel-wise that the Lions still need answers for at this stage of the season, not just quarterback.
Arash Madani, our CFL insider for South Street Burger Company. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders, they get back on the horse, so to speak. They an impressive, in a way, if it's impressive beating an expansion team, but they managed to pull themselves up, much like the Stampeders did a week ago against the Argos, and win a game late that really they should have had no problem winning.
Yeah. Some games are barometer games, and some games are kind of identity games, and I think both of those were the case for the Riders, which is bizarre when you say, how could that be for a defending champion against a one-win expansion team? But sometimes you just don't have it. Sometimes there's just not a lot there in the tank that day, and the Riders definitely didn't have it for three quarters. But boom, this comes back to the most significant signing coming out of NFL cuts in Weston Dressler. I mean, yeah, did the Riders pay a little too much for his services? Probably. But guess what? It paid off and then some yesterday, didn't it? I mean, when the game was hanging in the balance, it was Dressler who delivered. It was Dressler who had the 60 and 80-yard touchdowns. Dressler who basically made a catch with about as much room as he had in a phone booth. I mean, it was terrific stuff from this guy. And that's what a team that's going to the playoffs, that's what a team that has experience in November is able to do, is manufacture a victory. Henry Burris must just have nightmares about that place, doesn't he? I mean, they had that game won, and Henry just,
Yeah.
The interception late was just baffling. Somehow, some way, the Riders found a way, but it was in large part because of the guy they signed just a couple of weeks ago after he was released from Kansas City.
If you're a Rider fan, what's your comfort level with Tino Sunseri? A week ago, no good, and for about three quarters yesterday, not great.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that was the case yesterday. The fact that the Ottawa Redblacks were absolutely, you know, slicing and dicing through my defense would have been a little more of a concern. I mean, I thought Corey Chamberlain was bang on in his halftime interview. He said all three phases we're not getting done, and they weren't. That, to me, that wasn't just a quarterback issue. It's a young team. It's a young Ottawa team with absolutely no offensive weapons having their way with you. Tino Sinceri is not going to be good enough, Boom. But that's the ultimate concern there. And if somehow they can get their run game going, you know, they may be able to get through this regular season. But come November, I think the Riders really are making a miscalculation if they believe that Tino Sinceri is going to take them to another championship.
The Edmonton Eskimos, they fall to Hamilton out in the Hammer by a score of 25-23. Again, this is one of those ones that you would have expected the Eskimos would have maybe handled with Mike Riley now back in.
Mm.
No? Because I want to ask you. All right.
Zach Collaros was the highest paid free agent quarterback outside of Henry Burris this offseason for a reason. This is a Hamilton team like the Argos that finally has all their horses back in the stable. And I was impressed with how Hamilton played. I mean, you know, you're down a couple of scores, you're at home, you faced adversity all season, but there was an answer. And I think if there are two teams in the East that you're going to be hearing about, it's going to be Hamilton and Toronto, especially if they can stay healthy right now. I mean, Collaros is the real deal. You know, Toronto did not want to lose him last off season. He's going to be a starting quarterback in this league for quite some time. They were able to, you know, not only find a way, but win the football game on their own. And that wasn't as much an Eskimos issue to me, Boom, as it was Hamilton now finally finding their stride. And they've really done that since somehow inexplicably losing in Montreal.
Yeah. They're a hard team to figure out because whatever it was, 2 weeks
they
ago,
are.
You know, they looked really strong. And the home opener for them, I guess, if you want to call it that, at their new stadium looked really good. And then the next week, not great. And then you come up, this is a huge win for them.
That is, and that's a tough atmosphere to play in. Make no mistake about it. There's no East building like it. I mean, it's, and they sense there in Hamilton the opportunity that basically we went through training camp and we're a work in progress for, what, 8 weeks of the season, and now we're still in the conversation and control our own destiny. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of oomph there in Hamilton with that football franchise. And I actually think that it's going to be a heck of a fight between the Ticats and Argos to win the East.
This week coming up, it's hard to here in Calgary, BC's coming in. That'll be huge for us here in Calgary. But you look at that Edmonton, the Edmonton-Saskatchewan game. Up in Edmonton, that should be a dandy, boy.
It absolutely should be. And this is where we're really going to find out. We talked about it earlier, Boom. This is where we find out what Tino Sinceri is made of.
Yeah.
Because who's going to be the architect of the perfect defensive game plan for a young quarterback who's just making his third, you know, consecutive start? It's going to be Chris Jones. What's the team with the best defensive personnel to get after the quarterback that has the athletes to blitz, that has the dominant Odell Willis who's playing some of the best football of his career? It's the Edmonton Eskimos. Now we're going to find out exactly, you know, the ultimate chess match between Jones and George Cortez. How is Saskatchewan going to protect the quarterback? How are they going to get the ball out as quickly as they can? And what will Jones' game plan and scheme against it? I think we're in for a treat there.
And before we let you go, you are a well-publicized Minnesota Vikings fan. The Teddy Bridgewater era. Are you excited?
Well, it began a little sooner than all of us had expected and hoped. I mean, everybody knew Matt Cassel wasn't going to be part of much of a future, but you just don't want your future in 3 weeks into the season. But now it's here with Cassel with the broken foot. I don't know if excited is the word. I watched a lot of that game yesterday. There were definitely some flashes. The kid quite isn't ready, but the kid has some tools. And so we start anew with another young Vikings quarterback and see where that takes us, Boom.
There you go, buddy. I always think about you. Every time I see either things very good or very bad happening to Minnesota, you're the first guy I think of.
Well, the latter is usually the way it is.
Yeah, I was going to say that. But Arash, thanks, pal. We'll talk later in the week.
All right, Bill.
You bet. There's Arash Madani, our CFL insider for the South Street Burger Company. Try one of the flame-grilled signature burgers, the Nacho, the True North, the Hawaiian, or the Mushroom Swiss. Three locations, Cross Iron Mills, Beacon Hill, and 130th Ave Southeast. We'll jump out just about 7:40. Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider, when we return, we'll talk also with the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, and apparently an Oompah band. This is what I'm led to believe. They're not coming in?
You should just open a door. Well, you can hear them soaking through the walls.
Well, do we want them to come in?
Not really. It is sportsy enough to make the show, I guess, isn't it?
I was going to say, it's very much... Well, we'll debate that when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The auto braking to the premium comfort of its Scandinavian interior, the 2015 Volvo XC60's many features would have been better suited for a longer one. But while there's still time, you can lease a 2015 XC60 for only 0.9% for up to 39 months, or finance for 0% for up to 60 months. Visit valentinevolvo.com for more details.
Yes!
From coast to coast, thousands of Canadians are playing Spinbrella, the exciting new game from iTravel 2000. Book a Sunwing or signature winter vacation and spin to win. Great prizes like travel vouchers, Samsung tablets, free trips, and even a $25,000 dream vacation. Every spinner's a winner when you play
Spinbrella.
This is a Sportsnet Connected update on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is 7:46. Good morning. I'm Ryan Pinder. The Calgary Flames 1-1 in the preseason. They opened it yesterday with a pair of split squad games against the Oilers. Here in Calgary, a 1-0 win. TJ Brody the goal. Jonas Hiller, Brad Thiessen combine on the shutout. In Edmonton, a 3-1 loss. Curtis Glencross, the lone Flames tally. In the CFL, minus their best in numerous positions, the Stamps suffered their second loss of the season yesterday in Montreal, 31-15 the final. Meanwhile, Saskatchewan rallied late. They beat the Red Blacks 35-32 in overtime. Three undefeated teams left in four-down football. Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and Arizona all won yesterday to move to 3-0. Sunday nighter saw the Steelers trounce the Panthers. And tonight, the Bears head to New York to face the Jets. JETS, Jets, favored by 2.5. We have that game for you, starting with the pregame show at 6 o'clock on your home for the NFL, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Brought to you by Canadian Blood Services. The blood signal has been activated. Please book a blood donation appointment to save a life. Please call 1-888-2-DONATE now.
Part of Canada's most extensive sports network. TV, online, magazine, and radio. Proud to serve Calgary and Southern Alberta. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
A little warrant for you on your Monday morning, 7:47. It is Boomer in the Morning. Derek Wills, voice of the Flames, coming up. Just after 8 o'clock, we'll get the inside skinny as to what took place last night in one of the two split squad games involving the Oilers and the Flames. That is on the way again, just after 8 o'clock. Elliot Friedman is our NHL insider. We'll check in with him in just a moment. Apparently, we have a call. There was some news in we talked about earlier, Colorado Avalanche, the hierarchy there, the pecking order with Patrick Waugh, Joe Sakic, Greg Sherman, the general manager. Sounds like Sherman is out as GM. We've got a phone call here, Jay, and the I guess former GM of the Colorado Avalanche, Greg Sherman. Hello, Greg.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from my personal telephone this morning. It seems as though my company provided telephone line is out of service. I'm not sure.
You're right. Okay. It was announced over the weekend, Joe Sakic, the new general manager. So I'm kind of curious because I thought you were.
Well, I don't think that could
GM.
Be the case. I've certainly received no correspondence from either Mr. Sakic or Mr. Roy about any such restructuring or corporate shuffling. And a few weeks ago, my office was relocated downstairs.
Downstairs?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think that's a bad sign?
No. I was told they were replacing some pipes, some corrosion of some sort, going to be a lengthy process. I've got a makeshift desk, a nice milk crate to sit on, a decent setup, really.
Well, they had a big announcement at the rink the other day. Were you not invited?
Well, they did send me out to grab some muffins and some assorted pastries, and I did notice upon returning that my key fob was no longer working on the front entrance. I just assume it's a glitch of some sort.
Yeah, I'm sure. Glitch. So as GM, then, of course, you would have to give us your thoughts, then, on your signing of Jerome Iginla.
Well, I don't know who that is. You might want to do some fact-checking on that. I assure you, if this Iginla character was indeed signed, it would have had to have gone through me. Of course, the proper channel.
Yeah, okay, Greg, it sounds like you've got some things to iron out. We'll let you go.
Yes, if fine, I probably should do some, I guess, some inquiring of some sort. I'm so sick of this shit.
Oh, what's that?
Nothing.
So there's the ex-general manager.
Sounds like you lost him at the end, though.
Although he doesn't, Elliot Friedman, our NHL insider, joins us. Do you have that info that it sounds like Joe Sakic's the new GM in Colorado?
Yes, the producers of Office Space would like to speak to you two guys.
Is that right? Oh, okay. Well, swing line stapler. The whole thing there has always been funny, right, with Colorado. It was a matter of time until those two took over. Do you still – I'm just curious, who's calling the shots? Because I still feel like it's Patrick Waugh and, like, Sakic is still kind of a background guy, even though now in title he's the general manager.
Well, last year I remember asking this question, and in the NHL, each team has to sort of, like, I don't know if it's fill out a form is the right way to say it, but they have to let the league know, like, who signs off on your deals. And last year I remember asking the league whose name is on this in Colorado, and it was Waugh's. And, you know, I think the way it kind of works there is that Waugh has got the vice president title, and Sakic's title is actually above his. And I think it's Sakic, but Waugh's got a lot of power there. And I think basically the best way to say it is Waugh's kind of, even though Sakic has that title, the easiest way to explain it is Waugh's kind of like the coach and GM with a lot of say. And Sakic is kind of like oversees it, but I think he defers a lot to Waugh in those decisions. But there's two other guys there. Like Sherman, I know everybody's poking fun at him, but he still has a role. He does a lot of the contract stuff. He's the guy who attended the GM meetings for Colorado last year, so he still has a role. And the other guy in there who doesn't really get a lot of attention but I think is really paramount to it is the former goalie Craig Billington. He does a lot of the scouting. He and Waugh are really tight from when they played together. And I think he's the guy who goes and sees a lot of the players and does a lot of the legwork that Waugh and Sakic don't do. So I think that's kind of how it works. And one of the storylines that's kind of going on this year is, will somebody offer a similar job to Mike Babcock next year? Is that what A, Babcock wants, or B, another team is willing to do if they want to get him out of Detroit? Because obviously with Ken Holland, Detroit's not in a position to offer that.
I guess with training camps having now been underway, players reporting yes. over the course of the weekend, anything stand out to you? Have you heard any? I look at the players that are not in camp, obviously, and we talked about that last week. But of guys yeah. that are there, anything cross your desk?
Well, I always I always tell people when it comes to the young players, don't get too caught up in the first week. In the first week, the team's rosters are bloated. A lot of the veteran players aren't playing. You only have to dress eight veterans, and your previous year's or this year's first-round draft pick counts as one. So you see a lot of rosters with a lot of names you won't see during the season. So I always tell people, wait until week two before you make your judgment on your young players. I mean, there's a couple of interesting things going on. Like, the LA Kings have a forward by the name of Andy Andreyev. He played a lot in the American Hockey League, all year in the American Hockey League last year. He's no longer eligible for waivers. And I know that there are a lot of teams that kind of have their eye on him. If the Kings have to put him on waivers, he's going to get claimed. So I think he's going to be like the kind of guy who gets scouted a lot over the next 2 weeks, and then the LA Kings sort of look at making a decision. Do we try to put him on waivers and risk losing him for nothing, or are we going to move somebody else so we can keep him? And I think that's the kind of thing that you'll be keeping your eye out on the next week or so. Does anybody sort of force them away onto a roster like this kid might?
Just reading, and again, because we're closer to it, I suppose, but there's so much yes. talk about what the Winnipeg Jets, what are they going to do? Evander Kane, are they going to trade him?
I don't think they're going to trade him.
There seems to be more buzz or a likelihood of trading Dustin Byfuglien than Evander Kane.
You know, Byfuglien, the thing about Byfuglien is he's getting close to his contract being up. You know, the Winnipeg situation is really interesting to me because there have been a lot of rumors about how all those guys get along. I'll tell you something interesting about Bufflin. I was told last year that when the young guys like Shifley and Truba were around before, you know, both got hurt at times, Bufflin was the guy who was really inclusive to them. Like he'd always be the guy who'd go up to them and say, "Hey, you guys have somewhere to go for dinner tonight, whether they are at home or on the road." And he was a guy who really helped out with them and was one of the best guys to them. And I heard some people looked at Bufflin very positively for that. I think, you know, the thing about Bufflin is I think people just have to get used to who and what he is. I know he's frustrating sometimes. He comes in, you know, heavier than you like, and he takes longer shifts than you like. But if you look at what he does on the ice, Dean, that's hard to replace. Like, how many guys are as versatile as he is, can play forward 5-on-5, be a devastating guy on your power play, and then if you really need it, he can go back and play a shift on defense and not kill you. I get that Bufflin can be frustrating, and I think if Winnipeg deals him, it's probably going to be a contract thing. I remember a couple of years ago, I heard rumors that Bufflin was available, and the agent was taken by surprise, and the team, like, ferociously denied it, like, harder than regular denials go. So I've heard these rumors about Bufflin before, and it's never happened. I just think Winnipeg eventually is going to have to do something to shake up their group. And I think they'll have a big decision with their rookie, too. You know, there were a lot of people who watched him last week in Penticton, and they kind of said, this guy might be ready now.
I sort of look at what Winnipeg's done, and certainly there's been all kinds of criticism, and rightly so, for the lack of the big move. But they've quietly collected a lot of good young prospects. Patan, Shifley, Ehlers, Truba, Morrissey, they got some kids. Where are they in terms of that bigger picture? Are they sell, are they buy, are they now, or are they in 5 years?
Well, I think one of the things there, Kevin Cheveldayoff, and I've been watching some of his interviews, he's talked a lot about drafting and developing. So, you know, that's what he's trying to sell, is that we're going to be ready this year. We're going to be growing our guys. The tough thing there is that it's hard to sell that to the fan base right now. Like, for 2 years, they were excited their team was back. Now they want a playoff berth. You know, they're tired of waiting. And I think the organization in some ways are tired of waiting too. It's hard for them right now, I think, because I look at them in the Western Conference, and I'm just wondering, you know, how are they going to be able to catch some of those teams that are already there? I think they're in a really tough spot, because to me, Ryan, I look at the biggest question is their goaltending. You know, Pavlik, simply has not been as good as you need to be to get into the playoff race. And unless he's going to be better than that, I don't see how they're going to pass some of these teams. Like, who that made the playoffs last year are they better than? And I would love to know the answer to that question. I think if Pavlik is not good enough, it's going to be tough for them to pass those teams.
And last one for you, in Pittsburgh, Malkin, Crosby, both missing the start of camp. Any updates there?
No, the Penguins are really tight with injuries, but I'm working on something, actually. You know, one of the things that we're starting to see behind the scenes is teams are getting upset at what's going on in the offseason that they don't know about. And this is something the players have a right to, is to choose their workouts in the offseason and where they go. But I think you're going to see a move from teams to start saying, wait a sec, we need some better handles on this, because guys are showing up and they're getting hurt right away. I spoke to a guy yesterday by the name of Matt Nickel. He's a trainer. He runs the BioSteel camp here in Toronto. And he says that there are some teams that are really good about calling him and saying, hey, what are you going to be doing with our guy? This is what we'd kind of like with it. Can we work with us? He actually said Calgary was one of the best teams about doing that. But there's a lot of other teams that won't speak to him or don't make the effort. And I think the one thing you're going to see out of all these injuries, guys, is teams starting to take more activity in the offseason about saying, hey, exactly what are you doing with our guys? And if the answer is cycling, for example, I think you're going to see them try to put their foot down more. They really hate the idea of players cycling because they think it hurts your hips for hockey because it forces your hips to do things that don't help you when you skate.
Well, I know that's why I gave up cycling.
I'm sure.
It's my hips.
I'm sure that was it.
Hip pointers. Thank you, Elliot. We'll talk to you later this week.
All right, guys. Have a great
week.
Take
care, pal. You bet. Elliot Freeman, our NHL insider. Brought to you by Eastside Kia, where the 2014 clear-out event is now on. Save $5,000 on a 2014 Kia Sportage SX Turbo. Now just $29,260 or $93 on a weekly payment. Receive a no-charge remote starter with your purchase. Visit Eastside Kia, located at 23rd Street and Barlow, or online, eastsidekia.ca. 8 o'clock, jumping out, but we're coming right back in about 90 seconds with Derek Wills, voice of the Flames. We'll get caught up in what took place last night at the Dome, the Flames and Oilers in preseason action. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.